Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 453, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I am your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Brad Torrey from TTCS Computer Services. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, great, Jeff. Thanks. Good to be here. How you doing?
Good to be here, too. Yep, I'm glad to be here with you. Where hopefully we can talk about some exciting tech things today and what's going on in your business. And then obviously we'll just kind of throw some ideas around and hopefully have some good information to help everyone out there. So what do you got for us first?
Well, let's see. I mean, I literally just, this is maybe good general advice for just anything. Like I have a couple of Wunderlist lists that I use, and one of them is podcast topics, and I just kind of go through and throw them in there as I'm driving, because that would be wrong. You don't use your cell phone while you're driving. But as I'm thinking of things, you know, I put them in here. And, but that goes for some other things. I'll have like marketing ideas or, whatever. And like, sometimes it'll be a long-term plan, like, oh, it's January and it's the middle of tax season. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe around October, I should start looking at other income tax offices that I don't service currently and ask them if they're ready for the next tax season. So I'll throw that in there with a due date of, you know, September 15th, and then forget about it for 9 months, and then it'll pop up in September, and I'll be like, oh yeah, thanks Brad from 9 months ago for reminding me of that. And then I'll work on it. So,
Now that sounds like a great idea. Now here's the problem that I've run into. I've run into the problem where I think I'm subscribed to Wunderlist, Todoist, Google Keep. I've got my OneNote. There's so many myriad of things I have tried to organize my thoughts. And it's like I use each one for something different. And it's really hard to pull everything into one category. So how have you been able to use Wunderlist that it makes sense for you that you can just easily just throw something in there when it comes to your mind?
Well, I don't use anything else. I mean, I have Evernote for like more just keeping track of stuff, and I can kind of search in there. But I get, even though maybe something else might be better, and other people will tell me, hey, give this a shot because it's been working really well for me, and I might like that one better if I get into it. But Wunderlist works well enough for me, so it's the one that I found that satisfies those niches, and that's my tool. And okay, if I have free time, which as you and I both know, like how much free time do we have? I don't know.
Like none.
None. Because if I have free time, I'm going to, like at this point, it's perfectly clear. I'm going to spend it with my kids, or I'm going to play some video games. I mean, I'm not looking for a lot of, so anyway, Wunderlist works, and it pops up on my phone and I can use it on the web, and I like it, and it's good enough. And I still mourn Astrid disappearing, but you know, we move on. And
that was the other one. Yes. I had that one a while, but yes, I remember that one.
So when I have a tool, and you know, like as techs, we have this like latest and greatest or new, you know, there's gotta be some other cool solution that does this, that, or the other thing. I have to, there's certain things, especially like my organizational tools and my to-do list, where I fight that as hard as I can. And I just go, you know what? I'm going to use Wunderlist and it's going to work for me, and that's it. And maybe if I've used it for a couple of years and something else really sounds enticing, I'll check it out. But for the most part, I focus on the tool for the job. So Repair Shopper is my new, you know, latest and greatest thing, because I think for actual work, I've been using Repair Shopper very off and on for a while. But this last month I've decided, okay, Repair Shopper is where I'm going to put all my work. Like this is going to be the thing. And I've got another monitor that I added to my array, which everybody thinks is insane because it was already four. so I've got, but they have this rad dashboard for the tickets. and it looks like a restaurant, which I do a lot. I've done a lot of restaurant point of sale programming, so I'm very familiar with this idea. It looks like when you go up to like the, you know, where the window where they pass out all the dishes that are ready to go out to tables, they have these digital displays, and it shows like, it's literally like a ticketing system, but they're color coded. So they've been sitting there and they're getting stale and they need to be have attention. They'll turn yellow and then red. And the repair shopper dashboard does that. And that's really cool. But you've got to have a place that that's just going to be displayed, or else it's not really very helpful.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So it's awesome. And you just go to repairshopper.com/tickets/dashboard if you have an account already. And your dashboard pops up, and they're little squares, and they have the ticket number at the top, and they have the name of the client, the status of the ticket, and maybe some notes or something. And then they're color coded, and the color coding is automated. You know, it changes as things change. And you just pop over, you could just, so I, of course I had to upgrade my video card just because I was out of ports, which was also, you know, the excuse to upgrade my video card.
Sure. Of course.
And, mounted an extra monitor. I put it for me because just it fits in with what I've got. I got a vertical screen, and so now I'm off to my left. I've got my ticket dashboard. And so anyway, I love that. So I'll use Repair Shopper, but that's for like tickets. That's, you know, jobs. And then for like, I need to call this person, or I need to. I've got a list in back to Wunderlist. I've got a list called phone calls. You know, because I can make the phone call no matter where I'm at if I've got a phone in my pocket.
Right.
So if I've got time in the car or time at my desk or whatever, where I know that I can make a phone call, I'll click that and I'll look at it. And right now I've got four in there. And one of them is a customer named Jenny, and she's a local kind of an elderly woman that lives over in a nearby neighborhood, and I've helped her with some things, and she wants me to help her with LastPass.
Okay. That sounds, yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So that one's been sitting there for a little bit. Cause I have to have the right place. You know, I've got to be in the right mindset to help an elderly woman with LastPass, who she's pretty tech savvy for her. I mean, she's not bad, but she's got an iPad and a PC, and she wants to be able to like manage her passwords better. And so that's a conversation that I can't just have while driving, because I'll drive into a wall. But I look in here and go, okay, well, I can talk to this customer. You know, she has a question about her website, so I can call her. But I know anyway. So like, I'll have that, and I've got stuff that only can be done at my bench, stuff that can be done on my laptop, no matter where I'm at, as long as I have a computer with me. You know, I kind of group those things by how I do them, like where basically like where I need to be or what resources I need to have, and not by like, I don't group it by customer or by, you know, whatever, because that's not as, and if anyone's read Getting Things Done, I've recommended that in the past, or like listen to those kind of things. You know, if I'm driving, I can make a phone call. So I click phone call and I look and see what phone calls I can make. And if I'm sitting at my computer, then I can look through that list. It kind of helps when you get kind of overwhelmed, because lately I've been pretty busy with stuff. It helps me be able to like, oh God, I don't even know what to do next. There's so many things. And so I'll just, if I get to that point where I'll probably just start making lists again of like, because I don't know what to do. I'll just go into this. I'll click something. I'm doing something that's on this list and it's appropriate. Like it's doing something and it's good. And I can work through a few things and then I can kind of resettle and get back to being productive again. So anyway, that's how I'm using Wunderlist and Repair Shopper and more monitors than anyone should probably have at their desk.
So you're using a tool, but the point is you're using the tool. So whatever it is, yes, yeah, we are all about the shiny object and moving on to the next greatest thing. But here's the thing, to-do lists or anything like them are only as good as the information that we put in it. So if you're not going to put information in there where a lot of us have gotten stuck, whether you have a notepad, like I put, I actually, this is funny. I actually have a notepad on my desk Because quite honestly, if you're talking to a customer and I need to jot some notes down, whether it be an address or whatever, it's just easier for me just to write it out right there versus pulling up whatever app or whatever thing and putting the information in there. And not only that, you got the clicking of the keyboard and all that kind of stuff. I can just write it down while I'm talking to the customer. No big deal. And I'll take it in and I'll put it in Repair Shopper or whatever after that. But yes, definitely using the tools that you have at hand. I mean, what do they say? Like with, what do they say? They say, what's the best camera out there, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the
camera
one that
you have.
The camera that you're carrying with you. And most of the time, it's going to be your phone, right? So that's what people use. It doesn't matter if it's the best picture or not. It just works. And you can capture those moments. Same thing with any of these tools. You got to be able to, you got to be able to use them on a regular basis. So,
yeah. And that's actually, and that ends up being what I liked about Astrid and what got me back, you know, got me using Wunderlist is that, there's pretty low, yet there are more powerful tools out there for managing task lists, but it only takes a few seconds for me to pop open Wunderlist and get something at least recorded. And then it's at least there. And I don't have, yes, you could have something that has more like location-based reminders so that it, and I, you can probably figure that out with Wunderlist if you use Tasker or something else, or I don't know. I did that once before with some other things, but I just wanted to like, I won't use it if it takes more than two steps to get something typed out.
Right.
So this is stupid simple. I can get it recorded. And that's what's important for me because I won't do it. I'll get real. It doesn't take much to derail my little organizational system. I'll tell you, like, there's in about a month from now, I'll be afraid to go into Wunderlist because they'll have so many things in there that I haven't checked off. And it becomes, and then I'll have to remind, like, go in and do a purge and just go, like, no, to check. I haven't done this yet, but I'm probably never going to do it. So check it off anyway and just burn it all out and start over again. And that keeps me, and then I get back in to actually using it the way I should. And that's just me.
Sometimes you need those things. You need to be able to take that time and go, you know what? I'm going to make a clean break because I will never catch up to what I'm supposed to be doing. One of the things that I use in my business and what I've noticed is as busy as we all are, I have to schedule everything in my calendar. And here's where I think a lot of people make mistakes when it comes to this stuff. I schedule when I get up, what time I work out, in all the things, you know, what time I eat breakfast, what time I have my quiet time or whatever it is, what time I'm going to work on marketing for my business, barring I'm not out at a customer's house or fixing something here. But here's the thing, as long as it's in there on a weekly basis and a regular basis, at some point, even if I'm busy doing something during 1 week or that day that I'm supposed to be doing, let's say work on marketing in my business, at least the next week, when I'm not doing anything, that marketing thing will pop up and it notifies me not only in my browser, it notifies me on my phone, usually 5 minutes before the task is supposed to start. And what I've done is, here's the other mistake a lot of people made, or the mistake I've made personally, is I tried to schedule everything so close together. And what I figured out was, no, you need to schedule something. And when you schedule it in there, leave like a 15 minute to 30 minute buffer where you're not doing anything, where you actually get up from your chair and maybe go get another cup of coffee or a drink of water, whatever. You walk around a little bit, you go outside and get, you know, sun for 5 minutes, something. And I think that a lot of times that has helped me stay on track. And it's still not a perfect system because it still seems like I have all these things flying at me from the left and from the right. And just, I'm just running around sometimes like a chicken with my head cut off and going, yeah, I really need to get that marketing. Yeah, I really need to work on my website. Yeah, I really need to do this. And I don't get to it. So I'm really trying to dive down into my calendar and put that stuff in there. And then I've got other things where I have lists of long-term things that need to be done and maybe where I can transfer those into that calendar event on a regular basis. And maybe that will help me at least keep me in control a little bit in getting something done versus never working so hard and never getting anything accomplished, or so it seems.
Yeah. And I've been fighting this it's literally the past 2 weeks, this has been a personal, just a little personal goal. I'll go through and put stuff on a calendar, and I'll like go, okay, all these are all the things. I know where I need to be tomorrow. I don't need to put it on my calendar, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want to have it like laid out. And then tomorrow will come, and before I've even woken up in the morning, there'll be some text message or email sitting on my phone waiting for me to see, like, first thing I open my eyes, that is going to completely derail my day. Like, this has been like the week of like weird internet issues, just like destroying companies' productivity.
Oh.
Three different companies in the last 2 weeks that I work with have had something happen that was outside of any of our controls. Like, but there was nothing that, well, I don't want to say nothing, but nothing within their budget and within reason we could have done to avoid these issues. We have one location where their internet goes out all the time for short periods of time. And they've just got to do like a quick reboot of a router or something, and then they're back online. We are working in the process with a new ISP instead of DSL coax. You know, we're going to switch over technologies to that building because it's a newer connection on the new thing. Anyway, the short of the story is somebody, AT&T, told them to friggin' reset their router with a paperclip.
Which destroys all the settings in there.
So many settings. We had everything set up on address reservation. So that there was, you know, all the IP addresses throughout the network were static, but none of them were set static on the devices because that tends to work better in a lot of cases that we've experienced. And they have a VPN connecting multiple offices. There's firewall rules, opening up ports for this, that, and the other thing. Everything was set up, and then they wiped it all out. And then they also, their AT&T equipment was set to pass through. So obviously when they factory reset that disabled the pass through. So now everything's double natted. None of the IP addresses match anything. There are things in their settings that are set up by, you know, you can sit there and kind of argue one way or the other where you're going to set up a printer and put it on like the node name so that it's like //HP, whatever, or if you're going to put it on the IP address. Well, sometimes it's just easier to use the IP address. So we do, because they're on statics. Why not? So now none of their printers work either. Like, the whole thing was a disaster. And that's happened to me like 3 times in the last couple of weeks where I've had to run out and make an emergency stop. So I spent all the time scheduling, as this gets back to like planning and organizing and scheduling. My whole day was booked up, scheduled. Well, not anymore. Now I'm going to this other client's office because they've got a very nice retainer clause that says we handle all their emergencies right away. And that's great. But now I'm rescheduling my day. And then you sit there and you're like, why did I schedule my whole day? Because and then it happens again like a week later where you have your whole day scheduled out and you've got to rearrange everything because there was this emergency. And it's good practice to have your schedule get wrecked on a regular basis because it's okay.
I think that's what I mean by generalities. Like in my particular case, so here's what I've done. On my phone, my notifications for emails is 100% turned off 100% of the time. Because I start my day, I get up, I wash my face real quick, I go down, I work out, I take a shower, get some breakfast, right? And then by that time, I have a little bit of quiet time where I do some reading and different things like that in my office. And then at 10 o'clock, I'll open my email and I'll look at it and see what's going on for the day. But other than that, up until that point, nothing is going to derail my day. Now, the difference would be, in your case, you have somebody that has an emergency clause that obviously you provide them for hopefully a good amount of money. And that person, when they're down, they need you right there, right now. Now, my question would be, in this particular case that this happened, and somebody decided to reset the router with a paperclip, was that person taken to the woodshed and just beat? Because what were they doing? Okay, if they have a contract with you, what were they doing even touching any of the equipment?
Yeah. So I had an hour because this office is the furthest office from my office that I support. And then the only reason I even support them is because they're part of they're another office of a large organization. So I'm stuck with this one.
Okay.
But yeah, as I'm driving up there, I'm just like, I wasn't even mad. I was just like, oh, this is so frustrating. And I really need to tell anyway. So you get to kind of go through all the scenarios. You got plenty of time. And so by the time I got there, I was just like, you know what? This person doesn't understand. And the owners and the managers were not at the office at the time. They come in a little later just because they do on this particular day. So this was just an office worker. They just, they needed to get their, when the internet goes down, they have VoIPs, their phones are out. They can't process anything. Customers walk in. They don't want to get yelled at by the owners because they were turning customers away. So they were going to deal with this. So they called AT&T and they asked for help and they did what they were told to do by a technician and they didn't know. So.
I hope you use the word technician very loosely.
Very, very loosely. Can you imagine any situation where you're talking to a business and you have no idea what their setup is like because you can't, not information that's available to you, where you tell them that it's a good idea to paperclip reset their router and modem? Like, how is that a responsible answer to give to some unknown business?
Business, it doesn't matter whether it's unknown or not. It's different. It's not a residential call. That's the difference.
Exactly. This is a business call. They have a business account. They're talking to business support.
Right.
They should know that this is not okay. Even if that would solve it, do you have an IT person that we should contact before we do this? Like, et cetera. There's so many ways to handle that don't end up in catastrophe. So they did it. So basically, everybody luckily that works in that office, when I got there, was now present. They saw me. So I figured, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm not going to complain, but I am going to allow myself to appear like I'm working with a severe sense of urgency. I'm going to be typing furiously. I'm not going to be speaking to people a lot. Normally, I'm all smiles when I walk in the office. I'm not going to be scowling. I'm just going to be focused and intense. And it's going to be about an hour of me trying to rebuild this network as fast as I can because my fault, I don't have the router config backed up at that office.
That was going to be my next question, but okay. I'm glad you brought that out.
Yeah, that's my bad. We'd had to do kind of a quick reconfigure of that router and change some things. And I skipped the backup step. I was going to get to it later, in quotes, and I didn't. That's my bad. But so I'm sitting there going, okay, they don't know that I should have done that.
And obviously you're not going to tell them, right?
No, and I'm not billing them for the call anyway. So whatever. So not directly. So I'm sitting there, I'm like getting this done. So I get it going. And then after everything was settled down, everything's working, I call everybody into the office where the equipment is mounted, and it's in a rack, and there's actually a lock on the door, but they know where the key is because of, it's so far for me to drive that I'd like to be able to talk them through things sometimes. So anyway, I was like, hey, listen, this actually just happened. This exact situation happened to another client of mine a week ago. So I don't want you to feel like you're stupid or you screwed up or whatever. I understand that there's so many things involved in all this stuff that you don't understand. Like, you understand how to help customers and do taxes and insurance, and I don't understand any of that stuff. And I understand how to do this stuff, and you don't understand this stuff. So that's fine. But let me help you out. I held up a straightened paperclip, and I said, if anyone ever tells you to use this again, stick it in their eyeball. And then call me and ask me if they just, and I was very, at this point, we're all good and casual and laughing and stuff. And I explained a little bit without getting too technical with them. Like, listen, there's a lot that goes into setting these networks up, and this thing just wipes everything out. It's like you just set fire to the network. And just so you know, that's never going to be a good idea here unless I'm present and it's my call and I do it, because I know how to recover from that and when it's a good idea to do that kind of thing. So
sure.
I also built, because I'm probably just going to suck it up and build and put one in as part of their contract. I set up this contract with them before we were using Wattbox as a standard for the automatic restarting it'll automatically power cycle a router
right.
if the internet goes out. They don't have one and they don't want to buy one because they're already on this contract, and they're like, well, whatever. They're being a little difficult about it. It's like $80. Come on, guys. Or no, I think the auto ping is $150, but still. So I just threw together a switched light socket or a switched power outlet. And so at least if they have to power cycle the router, they can do it without getting into the cage. They just flip. It's literally flipping a light switch off and switching it back on.
Oh, so, nice. Okay.
I've done that for residential customers a couple of times. They couldn't quite justify having a $150 automatic device for, you know, their kids' Wi-Fi. I mean, it's like they don't really rely on their internet for anything special. And they occasionally needed to reset their modem for some reason or their router. And I was like, well, if you paperclip it, because they were telling me that's what they did too. They were really hitting the reset button. I was like, well, that's not really, you shouldn't be doing that all the time to your router, especially since we have some open ports for your security cameras and stuff. So we just did that, like threw together a little, you can get them at the local hardware store. It's just a power outlet on the bottom and a power switch on top. You wire it correctly, put that in line with the whatever device you want to be able to power cycle, and they can flip it off, flip it on, and they don't have to go into the mess of all the stuff that they've got for their all their modem and router. That was kind of,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
No, it's a good solution. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with power cycling the router or modem itself. The problem comes when you're resetting all the settings inside. And you probably have it in your process now where you make sure that when you're setting a business up or even a residential, that you actually make a copy of that config file. And so that if anything ever happens, you can at least get them back up and running quickly.
Yep. I have one for every single router in service at this point that I'm responsible for.
There you go.
And I know that now because I just recently went through and double checked.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, always, double check your work and always make sure that you've got that stuff put aside.
Yeah.
Well, that's another great story. I mean, you really come up with some doozies. I'll tell you what. You got some good stories out there I'd rather stick a fork in my eye than deal with some of that stuff. But, whatever. anyways. All right. So what else do you have going on? That's obviously we talked a little bit about scheduling and trying to get that stuff together and how you plan your days and in some of these different problems that come up. But what are some of the other things that you're working on in your business right now?
Well, this was more of a fun one. And this also goes along with my sort of New Year's resolution of, and I don't make an official resolution, but it's just sort of a thing that I'm working on, is me sort of, if we talk about specializing or trying to focus, my sort of anti focus plan is to focus by not doing anything by despecializing. I'm finding people that I can work with or outsource or, whatever it is, to do things that I normally would have either tried to do or would have turned away. So, so an example of that, I have through a referral, a restaurant local, like they're literally, it's like 3 minutes away, which is beautiful. They wanted some digital menus. They were basically ready to like do some price increases. They hadn't touched their pricing in like 3 years. They wanted to change some items on their menu, and they didn't want to have to go get them printed again. And then down the road, make a couple changes and have to get them printed again. So they're ready for digital menus. We've done this before for a couple customers. So I went and met with them, got their menus, got, talked about the sizing and the things that they wanted. And then gave everything to a graphic designer that I know so that she could actually do the layout. I have an AV guy that now I know, recently met him. He's pretty cool. And he came up some great ideas of like TV sizes and stuff and like helped me pick the TVs, based on his experiences, and he mounted them and did like the physical installation of the TVs. So all I really did was talk with them, give them information, coordinate the efforts of a few people, and collect the invoice. So that's great. I mean, and they turned out beautifully. The TVs were mounted like nice, more better than I could have mounted them. I've mounted TVs before. They look, you know, they're fine, but like he did a couple little things that I didn't really ever, had never thought of doing that made them look really nice. Everything was really clean. I was able to continue focusing on all the other things in my business that were going on instead of being completely tied up in this job, and they're happy. Everything worked out. I got paid. It was great. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at, like getting more people involved helping me, but I'm still not at a point where I can hire employees. So I'm working with people that I, you know, I can just kind of call up when I need to, and they're there to help out. So.
Well, and that, I think that makes a perfect sense for a lot of people, especially us that are out there doing this ourselves, is that we're not going to be good at everything. And it's hard because we know we can get the job done. We know we can do whatever we put our mind to, but the reality is, should we be doing that? And I think in a lot of cases, I don't think we should be. And I think you've got a perfect plan with actually working with some other people, some other companies that are good at doing certain things that need to be done. And I think it's going to come back around too, where maybe that TV guy that mounts the TVs, he's going to have a customer that needs some computer work done, networking, whatever. And so all these things kind of work together. Plus, you are able to concentrate on your business and concentrate on the things that you're good at versus just kind of throwing a bunch of mud at the wall and seeing what'll stick.
Yeah. Which basically was my business plan for the last 4 years, you know, until more recently. So let's see what else. Oh, okay. So this is a perfect segue into one thing that I'm really excited about. And we've talked about, so like, this is speaking of, you know, finding outsourced or other people that are specialized. So we've talked about Anthony, at Remus Computer Services, that he is a custom PC builder. We've been working together on this for this architect office. He just built this PC. I think it was like $3,500 for the tower. It's probably been surpassed at this point because everything moves so fast. But at the time when we tested it and ran through all the benchmarking, it was the fastest recorded benchmarked computer for running Autodesk's architectural program called Revit. So bragging rights.
Yeah. Okay.
And the owner is just through the roof. It's so because basically one of the key ingredients here, other than having obviously like really high end motherboard and RAM and processor and all that stuff, is using, you know, I'm going to screw it up. Starts with an M. It's not SATA. For the SSD, it's like a...
Oh, the mSATA?
Yeah, Samsung's 950 Pro.
Right, right.
Which is basically just a PCI Express, like directly injected SSD instead of having to go through the slower SATA port. The thing screams. And you can tell, just turning the computer on, going from like an 850 Pro Evo or an 850 Evo, like a fast SSD, and then upgrading to this thing, you can just tell when you turn it on that it's that much faster. The thing just kind of snaps. And when you move stuff or click on things, it just feels real time. And you never knew that it didn't feel real time before until you get to use this thing.
And nice. You're
like, wow. And like just little stuff. When you go up into like just an Explorer window and you're looking for a network computer, so you're going to browse through some network files or network shared folders, and the speed that it pre-populates that list when you've never searched through this network before and it's autofilling, like little stuff like where you're like, whoa, that's never happened before. Yeah, I've always had to type the whole thing out the first time, but no, it's still, it's like pulling in so much data so fast that it's just pre-populated. And that's anyway, it's fast. And I love this computer and I'm sad. I would like, I had it on my, it took me a little extra time to kind of benchmark it and test it out and make sure that it was all good to go here because I was so sad to see it go for the delivery to the customer.
So when are you building one for yourself?
Oh, I don't know. It'd be hard for me to justify spending like $3,000 on a tower, but.
Oh, that's nothing. if you're spending under $3,000, I don't even know why you're wasting time. Just go buy a Dell or HP or whatever.
Well, I have, the thing is I have a nice custom PC, but it's a little older, you know.
I'm in the same boat.
I can't feel it slowing down. I mean, the thing's working so great. I need to break something. Like, I'll accidentally kick it or something.
I keep, every time I have a little glitch or something, just little things will pop up or something didn't close down right or something. I go, oh, am I having a problem with my computer?
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to build another one? The reality is I really don't have the time I don't want to go through all that again. And it takes me a long time to get all my stuff set up the way I like it and the way I run. So for me, it's kind of like, would I like to? I don't know that I can go to anything any faster. I don't even use, you know, I've got 32 gigs of RAM and I don't use half of it in most scenarios, whether from video gaming or whatever. So I could put 64 in this particular chipset. It's not a big deal. I don't really, it's not going to help anything. So, the SSDs are so fast. You basically don't need virtual memory anymore, except for maybe a few, old programs, but yeah, I don't know. It's, I'd like to, but I don't want to. So yeah. That's kinda
weird. Yeah. But. Yeah, it takes a while to get that. Like, now that you mentioned, I should probably do an image on this hard drive on my main computer again, just so that if something happened tomorrow, I would at least be back to today and not back to.
It kind of goes along with the config files, right?
It does, but it's my computer. It's not a customer computer. Nobody's paying me to take care of my own computer except me. But
I'm sorry. Don't we normally say, "Hey, you need to eat your own dog food"?
Yes. Shut up, Jeff.
Oh, it all sounds good, right? But yeah, when it comes down to there's a lot of times I don't even like working on my own stuff anymore. It's just, I'd rather work on somebody else's computer because I'm solving the problem. When it's my stuff, it's just, I want my stuff to work, right? And so when I have to work on it, it's very frustrating. So, oh, well, you know, yeah. I replace my hard drives every year. But I almost want to get back to the point where I'm replacing my computer every couple of years. But I just, yeah, I'm like you. I can't justify it at this point. Everything works the way it should, and I don't really have a need. But
yeah, and if you're not gaming and you're not building, designing buildings using Autodesk and stuff, like, what do you? Even if you've got a couple of generations old i7 processor and enough RAM and everything's, what do you in an SSD? Like, you don't need to upgrade for a while. It's gonna run just fine. You're not going to notice, but that's just me.
Well, and that's why a lot of times I tell people that I pay a little bit more for certain things. Like, I'll pay $600, $500 for a video card. The reason is it lasts me longer. Right now I'm running on a 780 GTX on this machine and it will run every game in the highest resolution, which is, I have a 2K monitor and it runs everything in basically the highest graphics that you possibly can. So it just works. Could I upgrade to a 980? Yeah, I'm a couple generations behind, but that $600 I spent on that video card, was that 3 years ago? I mean, it's working perfectly fine. So I don't really need to buy another video card. Where if you're spending $200 to $300 on a video card, a lot of times, I know this is like way off subject, but a lot of times every couple years, you really got to replace that thing in order to keep up with the latest, greatest video games and stuff like that, or you start turning the graphics down as you're playing. So this is a whole side note. Sorry, this is about computers, not necessarily about video games, but, you know, something I know a little bit about.
Well, you use computers to play video games.
That's right.
It's totally relevant.
I wish I used my computer to play video games more often, but yeah. Time. Anyways. Okay. All right. What else we got?
Let's see. I know that I'm back like catching up on certain other podcasts, not Podnuts, and through Podnuts, and I can't remember where I've heard this, but a couple of times it's come up recently. People talking about trying to stabilize their revenue, and maybe they see a slow period of time. During maybe January is slow for people. I hear that quite a bit. One solution that I stumbled upon accidentally a couple years ago was picking up a seasonal client that is busy during January. And most notably, that is, at least in the States, income tax preparation companies. So,
that's so if good,
you,
yeah.
If you want to help somebody who needs help during your slow time, and your slow time happens to be January, February, and maybe the last half of December, look at income tax offices. And that can go for, you know, I'm sure there are certain restaurants kind of pick up in the summertime or around the holiday season. And some, you know, there's businesses that have different kind of seasonal, they get busy during different seasons. So find that. Most of my customers are pretty quiet during January, February. But I have one customer that completely fills my time during those 2 months. Getting them ramped up for, and then maintenance through their busy season. And they go nuts. Their office is like dead most of the year. And then January, February, March, there is, all hands on deck. They have like 14 computers that normally there's only two people in the office. And then during tax season, they're all computers are occupied. They've got a lobby full of people. They've got people with appointments scheduled throughout the day, and every desk is helping somebody. And it's madness for like 3 months, and they don't get to sleep. They're there all night. They get there in the morning and at like 9 o'clock in the morning. They don't leave until midnight, and they come back and do it all again the next day. And they need, you know, so then I'm kind of like, literally, they're just their dedicated IT guy, and so they pay accordingly for that period of time, and it works out. So if you're looking to fill in some time, try to think through like, okay, what period of time is my slow time, and what kind of business needs me at that time, and become their IT guy.
Right. That's a great tip right there. Yeah, definitely, because there are all kinds of businesses that are seasonal. And you can pick up different things during different times of year. That's something I wasn't even really thinking of, but yeah, that's good. Well, and I think a lot of people are trying to, when they talk about stabilizing their revenue, they're looking at things like quote unquote MSP, right? So I'm going to have my software sitting on all these computers and monitoring and doing whatever. And I'm just going to sit back and the cash is just going to roll in. Yeah. Okay. When that works out for you, let me know, because I want a piece of that.
Yeah, right.
It's not quite that simple. So, yeah, I like your approach at finding those niche businesses during the year that will fill your time throughout the whole 12 months.
Yeah, and they are a monthly managed service customer, and they have off-season and off-season rate because their workload is, it's night and day difference. So I do have that. Like, they are an MSP client. I call the ISP when there's a problem. I manage all that stuff, and they pay me a flat rate to do it. But they obviously aren't going to pay the same rate during tax season as they would in August when they literally have no business. So,
when it's at emergency rate, right? Because they need it up and running now while they're processing everybody's income tax during the first few months of the year.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. What else you got on your list? What else you got on your Wunder list?
My Wunder list? Wunderbar list? What else? It's good to talk about here. You know, let's stay on the topic of filling in income. I heard Marvin talking before, I think it was last week, Marvin B on the Podnuts computer business podcast about if you sell enough, he sells enough volume, he's got an ISP that now pays him commissions for past and future, you know, when he signs up a new customer, and he's got this residual income coming in from that.
Right.
That's cool. And he probably gets a little bit better of a cut doing that with that ISP. Especially in a dense area where there's a lot of competitive ISP companies out there, you know, there's the main carriers. So at least I'm familiar with Southern California, AT&T, Verizon are the only two traditional phone companies that are available. So they lease their lines to lots of companies. If you want to order a T1 and have it, or even have an alternative DSL provider, it'll come over the AT&T or the Verizon copper, but you're actually paying and having customer service from another named company. Then there's coax, and then there's fiber, and you know, there's like all these options. There's probably over 100 ISPs and phone providers in the greater Los Angeles and Orange County area that we could deal with. So which one, you know, which, and they're not all available at every location. They're only available over here where they are and over there where they are. I can't pick one and work with them and try to get on some kind of an agency with them. So we have worked with, and there are a handful of these companies around, you know, they're called master agents. And if you do business support, you should find a master agent that can help you find, like, get internet set up at customers' offices, because you're probably going to be the person dealing with that anyway. If you're the IT support for a business and you have a good relationship with them, they should be coming and calling you and saying, hey, we need to find new internet, or we need this and the other thing, or you should be recommending that they do that. And then you should be charging them to be there, you know, kind of the person, because you know about what speed they need. You know, when, like, maybe because of comparatively, you know, rates, like, you should be the person that deals with that for them, because that's not their expertise. And if you're going to do that anyway, then you might as well be able to make some commission on it, right? Because why not?
Right, exactly.
So through an agency, and I'll just, let me get their URL and put in the show notes. It's called TCG, which is Telecom Group, is the one I'm working with now. And I don't have, it's not TCG.com. I'll find them and put them in the show notes.
Okay.
What's cool about them is that they deal with pretty much everything. Like everything. If you want to, they have VoIP carriers, they have all of the fiber and, you know, pretty much everything. For ISP and phone. AT&T doesn't really play nice with agencies, because they're already like, so they're competing on price already. So they don't have, apparently they just don't, you know, you're basically, people are going to find AT&T anyway, so they're not going to pay sales commissions. But usually pretty much everyone else will. So literally when I have a new client or any client that I need to find, you know, internet for, I shoot the address over to the agency. I give them a ballpark of what we're looking for. Like, I need a gig fiber connection, or I need 15 meg Time Warner or something, you know, tell me what's there. They'll shoot me back a report of everything that's available there that fits in with what I'm looking for. And then I present that whichever one looks like it makes the most sense. A lot of the time it's like the local cable provider. And they'll shoot me over a contract, get the customer to sign it, review it with them real quick, shoot that back over, and done. You know, the installer comes out, gets it hooked up, and I'm making, sometimes there's like upfront spiffs and then otherwise I'm making, it's not a lot, you know, like if you get a customer on a 15 meg Time Warner circuit with a couple of phone lines, you're probably going to make like $13 a month, but that's forever. And it's
that's
for
better than nothing.
Right. Cause I was going to do that anyway. So, right. And usually we get better or equal rates to what they could get if they called directly. So the customer gets, you know, they're paying the same or less, or then maybe they'll get like a promo that saves it for a year that may be better than what you could have got from, you know, because it's like an unpublished promo that they're only going through agencies with. And either way, like, it's nice having the agency because they'll also help me deal with stuff when something doesn't go smoothly with the ISP installation, or maybe, you know, whatever it is. Like, I can just go to them and say, hey, can you please figure out, you know, help me with this situation, and they're on it. So they have direct communications past just calling the stupid 800 support number. So you get support too. So basically it's a way to do what you normally would already be doing, have better information because they have, you know, they have more information available to you than just yourself. They can tell you all the options that are available. You get paid extra, in perpetuity most of the time. And you also have somebody with that can get in and get into these departments that you don't normally have access to. So,
and hopefully they won't have a person there that tells your customer to pull out a paperclip and reset the router.
Well, no, they won't do that. But if they call the main support number, they'll still, you know, unfortunately, education, educate your customers.
Right. You know what? You let me know when that works out for you, because I don't know about you, but you could tell them the same thing over and over 100 times and they'll still do whatever they think they should do on a moment's notice. if we could just crack that nut and figure out, okay, how many ways can I explain to you? When you have a problem, call me. Don't talk to anybody else. Call me and I will take care of your problem. That's what you're paying me for. Okay.
Right.
That was my rant.
You guys pay me. I'll even tell them, look, you guys, your company pays a flat rate for support. I am your IT department. Pretend that you work in a big giant company and there's just a guy in a basement who you can call and he will help you. And it doesn't cost any money. So you're paying me rather, you know, anyway. So get your money's worth and call me. And yeah, they get there. But a lot of times I get this all the time. It doesn't even matter. Oh, well, I didn't want to bug you. Really?
Well, you're bugging me now.
Yeah, I had to drive out here now. Otherwise, I could have done this all remotely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, see, I... Sometimes I just wonder, and it wouldn't matter. I mean, I could walk into a business with a ruler and smack people on the knuckles. It still wouldn't help. So, man, whatever. Plus, I'd probably get thrown in jail for doing that. So, oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. One thing you can say about this business is there's never a dull moment. It's always something.
There is always something.
So maybe one day we'll get to the point where I can sit on a beach sipping Mai Tais and watching the sun go down. I don't know, but whatever. But you know what? Hey, whatever. It still keeps me young. I guess that's the way I look at it. All right. Well, do you have any other stories that we need to talk about today? have we kind of talked everything out there?
I think we talked it out. I mean, I've always got stuff left over on my list, just little things, but that one I could check off.
Well, you keep adding to your list and come back on anytime you want, and we'll have this conversation again, because I always learn stuff from you and listening to how you deal with your customers and some of the different stories you go through, and I'm learning from your mistakes, and I go, yeah, that's why I'll never do that. So it's a bonus to me to be able to sit and talk to you, Brad. I really do appreciate it. But if people wanted to find out more about what you're up to and where they can find you, where would they do that?
They can always reach me through the contact form on my website at ttcscomputerservices.com. You can email me at brad@ttcscomputerservices.com. I post blogs there very sporadically, which is another thing I'm working on. And I am on Google+ as Bradford Torrey. Not Bradley. And I don't post a whole lot, but I do like hang out, chat with people here and there. And I've met a few people that way. So always open to that. And otherwise just keep listening to Podnuts. I promise to keep coming back and wasting everybody's, at least an hour of everybody's time here and there.
Oh, well, I definitely appreciate you coming out and sharing with us. I always have a blast just talking to you. And as I'm sitting in my office, I just think about the sun that's shining in through the window where you're at and just the nice weather that you have. And yeah. Okay.
I made a promise to myself. I wasn't going to talk about our California weather today. Yeah, so.
It doesn't matter. I just know you're in California. So it's just, it haunts me. Now I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Well, okay. I tried. Sorry.
No, I definitely appreciate you coming out. If you guys can find me on the Google+ at Jeffrey Halish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And I do kind of go on there sometimes. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, just like Brad, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. Brad, how easy do I make it for people to come on the show and share about their business?
My first time, I was terrified. I hate public speaking. But now it's like a little addiction thing. I get enough podcast topics on my little list and I just come on and I can't even believe it's been an hour this time. Everybody should give it a shot. It's great.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.